grace through faith. I talked to a cat the other day, and he was like, man, I really want to come to Christ, but I got to clean my life up first, get my sins together. I told him, I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. Let me tell you my story, it starts like this. It's 5:46 in the morning, tossing and turning, chest burning, sermons in my head keep reoccurring, having visions in my head of a kid, crying at the feet of the Father for all the wrong things that he did. Now I'm sweating in my sheets, can't sleep, my mind keeps telling me I'm 6 feet deep, don't remind me, even though I'm still alive, I can't tell, the way I'm living my life, I feel I'm going to hell. God, they telling me I should accept you, that you had to leave the world, cause the world left you. Reason I can't change, like a mystery to me, so I make believe there really is a heaven for a G. Even though they say you love the world so much, you shed your blood, God, I feel I'm too messed up for love. They tell me come as I am, but I smell like smoke. My whole life's full of sin, cause it's all I know. The Bible told me that you died for my sins. If I believe in Christ, to save me from the end, but I'm scared to ask you to save me. My heart's so evil, I got thoughts that's full of hatred, hurting people. I thought that first I had to clean up my life. Now I'm here and I just need to cling to the light. I'm ready to do it, but Lord, I pray you understand. My life is a mess, will you take me as I am? Will you take me as I am? Just crazy, did you bleed on the cross for my sins to save me? But why would you die for me? My whole life I've been working for Satan while he fed lies to me. And now I'm hearing too much, trying to get a true touch of a love that can change me. I'm all screwed up, figure hell is what I deserve. But your word says we all fall short, so I guess we all ought to burn. Teach me, I want to learn how you can save a wretch like me before death says it's my turn. I think I finally understand, no matter my past, you still take me as I am. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am?
I had a few last words to give. I be telling people the reason to live, the reason to die. United with the King in the sky. This life is passing us by. I got no reason to lie. You'll never give the world enough. They'll hunger for more. They're fickle. Their ways are nothing to the wondrous Lord. More security than the man that left you. More love than the moms who kept you. They'll always accept you. Be everything you're supposed to. Let Christ rule your heart, mind, body, and soul. Cause he chose you. And if the world don't know you, it don't matter. You're God's child and he'll never disown you. Your purpose on earth is far from worthless. That's why you're glorified like been purchased, and it don't matter if the world don't see us, we still mean the world to Jesus.
Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am?
Saved by grace through faith. It's not works, ain't nothing you could do, ain't nothing I could do that could get us this great salvation that we got, man. It's only Christ. So if you feel like you gotta clean yourself up before you can come to him, forget it, just come to him. He'll take you as you are, and he'll change you from the inside out.
Another exciting training day in the Lord. day the Lord has made, and we shall certainly rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We're having a standard, cold day. I'm not going to call it winter yet, but amen, I'm stalling it off. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed Holy Ghost, the Lord God, Jehovah, the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Orr, amen, and his lovely wife and Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. And all the different saints and friends and amen here and far. Amen. That are listening here now and maybe those after the rapture. I say praise the Lord. You know, it's been a few weeks. You know, it's been challenging. It's been interesting. You know, whenever I experience a lot of attacks, and it's that season, you know, Satan hates this time of year because it begins, the Thanksgiving Day begins as a reminder to him of his defeated lifestyle. Amen. Because if he'd had his way, America would never have been born. I mean, he tried everything he could to stop it. When you really look at the history, but it's more and more being revealed. But, you know, when you look at history, you got to see God's hand. Look for God's hand, and you'll see something. Amen. You know, the last time I started, we were talking about a covenant. Now, the point of this is to understand that there's a track record of God's ability to keep his word. Amen. So let's go before the throne of grace, because I definitely want him to run this. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, I do thank you and praise you and bless you because you are our Father. We thank you, Lord, that in you we live and move and have our very being. Father God, right now, we ask you right now that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory, and the inheritance that you already have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, right now we ask that you would strengthen us with might in our inner man. Father, we ask that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's November 15th. 2022. And lately there's been this controversy over Jews, or I would more so say Israel. And I'm not surprised because that's going to be part of the end time scenario. What we're talking about here is begins with that covenant, particularly the covenant that God made with Abraham. You know, you will notice in the book of Matthew that Jesus, that genealogy of Jesus doesn't begin with Adam. It began with Abraham. And that's very specific. You have to understand, you know, God is a singular God. He's the only God. I know there are other people that claim they have a God, but they never talked to him. They've never seen him. They don't have a track record. You know, and I've talked to people with those other gods. There's no association. It isn't like our God. Christians have the Holy Spirit. That is that's a person. It's not a thing. And he has the full intelligence of God. And his purpose is to educate us into these things of God. You have to understand, you got to really look at the true nature of man from the point of creation. You know, I mean, there are things God did you really have to pay attention to. When he made Adam and he breathed into him, you know, generally when people read that, they think about it as though God blew up a balloon or something. No, he took a portion of his intelligence, the fullness of his intelligence, instilled it in a clay model, and that clay, once in there, that intelligence took over and began to build, turn clay, into the apparatus that we live in today called a body. I mean, you really got to look at how detailed that is. If you ever look at a chart or read a book about the human body and its anatomy, you begin to see the level of capability of the human spirit, the spirit also known in the Bible as the spirit of man. And that right there is the reason for us to have to go through what I have called training day. God know how to be God. Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh, know how to be God. People debate that, but the Bible said that clearly in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. You have to understand the nature of God. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So there's no portion, you know, of the universe that you can go to where God isn't fully present, fully cognizant, with full intelligence of what exists and what goes on. If you look at some of the pictures of the James Webb telescope that they recently turned on, that which they are seeing, God created. He fully understands their nature. All the saints that have gone on, three of my relatives have gone on in the last 90 days, and that's unheard of for my family. You know, they've gone on. They now fully understand that, and they fully understand why God did what he did, how he did it, why he did it the way that he did it, and they are yet in training. And I based that on a book called The Close Encounter of the God Kind by Jesse Duplantis, in which he says that what he saw was people attended school in heaven. And I understand that, because a lot of y'all probably never went to Bible class, which is where pastors usually do more detailed analytical teaching than they do on Sunday morning. And you're missing something very vital. Basically, this is what this is. This is a teaching session. Now, you know, I don't do prophecy. I read about it. I follow prophecy. I follow prophetic teachers. They're called eschatologists. God has an assignment for everybody. My calling, according to Ephesians 4:11, is I am teacher. Amen. I'm not a pastor. I wasn't called to be pastor. Thank God for that. I pray for pastors because they only get that. They only have to deal with the troubled children. Amen. So I've been trying to help understand, you know, one of the things that I have learned and I've observed over the years, and I've asked God about, because that's where you get your real information. God, we can only give you information. God has to give you revelation. He alone does that. So my question, this thing about prayer and the promises of God. You have, with most people, and particularly most Christians, sadly, a higher percentage, there's a debate between 85 and 95%. The point is, it should be the other way around, have never read yet the entire New Testament. So they don't really know how, they never sought to learn how the kingdom of God, which is what this is about, works on earth. They even quote it and pray it, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how can you know what his will is unless you read it? His will and his word are the same thing. God does not, what isn't in the Bible isn't for you to know. Okay? I mean, well, not always, but I'll put it like, basically, whatever, what isn't in the Bible and the details, more, if you need to know more than that, God will tell it to you if he think you're mature enough to handle it. Because I've seen through the years that people let it go to their head. They think they've spined something. They remember a few scriptures and they think they know something. They don't know nothing, because when it comes down to it, if you're not actively serving God in any form, you don't know nothing. I mean, you can quote all the scripture you want. If you don't pray for nobody, and not even including yourself, you don't understand what's going on. If you struggle with tithing, you do not understand what's going on. This is about understanding how to operate in the power of God in the kingdom of God according to the word of God. That's what this is about. And you see the struggle that people have with that in the fact that 80% of the world population, particularly the adults, don't believe in God according to his word. And they make up all kind of excuses with the threat of eternal damnation. They still, rather than call out to God, they just go along with what they believe because they compare themselves to another human being. You know, that's just really not wise at, because humans are human, period. They on a, that's a different level. You can't, if I compare myself to human beings, yeah, I could exalt myself compared to a drunken bum laying on the street, or, you know, or some type of mentally ill, deranged individuals. But that ain't how things go with God. God judges, period. So what you really want to know at the end of the day, who are you going to answer to? God. So the person that you want to know what he thinks and their opinion would be God. You know, after God delivered me coming up on my birthday, that's ironic. I just thought about the same day I got delivered, my youngest son was born, November 16th. And he was born some years later, but it was on the same day. And after that, I sat down and read the entire Bible. I went and bought me a $2, back then they cost $2, an American Revised Edition Bible. I didn't even know the difference between Bibles, but I read it. And when I read it, I began to see I could not depend on men to tell me the truth, plus my life experience at that point, you know. So what we're talking about here is that God has made a covenant agreement that is yet in effect today. And it is that covenant agreement that we have Jesus, our Savior. See, and it's you need to understand that, because particularly as we go forward in the time, you're going to need one of the benefits of that covenant, which is the protection of God. But if you don't know how it operates, if you don't even know you have it, you're going to be a victim. There are a lot of people that have left here recently, got over to heaven, and found out they didn't have to go just then. I mean, I doubt that they're disappointed, but at the same time, another thing that I learned from someone else's encounter, because I had a question, and that is, why would God, I don't need a blessing. You know, I ain't going to say I don't need a blessing. Put it like this. I don't need a reward when I get to heaven. Getting to heaven is reward enough for me. So I wanted to know, Lord, why would I get a reward coming over there? Well, they come from the service you do, the simple things you do, being a usher at church, particularly praying and your giving. When you give heartfelt giving, it doesn't matter the amount. Jesus showed an instance where the lady gave the smallest amount that could be counted, but it measured in the kingdom of God greater than the wealthier people had given. That's how God measures things, what things come from your heart. When you pray for somebody, particularly when you pray for somebody that you had to bring your spirit into subjection to even mention their name, God knows that's a sacrificial offering, believe me. And it counts with God because that's why he gave us this power. Now, again, like I say, this is we're coming. You need, one of the things about the protection is, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan does not have authority over you. When you're born out of your mother's womb, you're born into the kingdom of Satan, which he gained access when he tricked Adam and Eve, okay? And you, once you accept Christ, you then become into the kingdom of God, and you're entitled to the benefits. And one of those is protection. That's a prominent. So where we had went, we came from, excuse me, I'm going through a refresh because we've been away a while. You know, it seemed like it's only been a couple of weeks, which, you know, video-wise, radio-wise, only a couple of hours. But still, I want you to understand, I want to help you get your mind to the kingdom mentality. Because when you look at the world, Satan has constructed idolatry to a level that's just phenomenal. And that's all people think about. They're in a rush to get. stuff. And now the threat of losing all that is creating chaos with people, okay? But also I want you to be able to survive. I mean, to make it to the end and to it doesn't matter that the world falling apart. Your life doesn't have to fall apart. All right, so we started out with it began, and I'm basing this on what, you know, the teachers of the past have established and studied. And I find, because I read study material that go back hundreds of years, and it's amazing how that thought pattern is the same. And that's one thing about God, is that he is consistent. Amen. So we talked about it started with Adam. And what's very significant about what that Adamic covenant is that in Genesis 1:26, God gave man control of the planet. So God get blamed for a lot of things. When a hurricane come through, that's the devil. That's in Ephesians 2:2. He's the prince of the power of the air. See, and the only reason we know how that happens is that revelation came from God via the Holy Spirit. Because if God hadn't revealed it, it would just be like what most people see as something typed on a page and not really understand the significance. So knowing that he can't affect the weather. And then there are other areas. You got to pick up on details. The late Dr. Stanley Scott was one of my Bible school teachers. Said, pay attention to detail. Because God will reveal things if you sit and listen to him. You know, see, it isn't that I grew up in an age where they didn't have all this distraction. I found value in early on in sitting and meditating the word and listening to the Spirit of God mentor me, pretty much. That's really what meditation is being mentored by God. Because God, everybody has an assignment, and only God knows how to get you through into your assignment. All right. Another aspect of covenant is terms, okay, in which in most cases we don't bring nothing to the table, but God lays out specific terms. I'm not going to go through all of them, but one of the terms and aspects of the Abrahamic and the Mosaic covenant was circumcision, and that's very important because, you know, I'm not going to go into detail as to that, but those young people that don't know what circumcision is the men's penis area would have extra skin around it, around near a part of it, and that would be cut off. Now, you have to imagine back during their time, they didn't have anesthetics to decrease the pain other than, you know, get drunk on some wine, and they didn't get that to children. They just went on and got them. They had to make a sharp stone and just cut it. They had to find a particular type of stone. I can't remember what it was, but they would get the job done. You know, there was one instance where Moses' wife got upset with him when he wanted to circumcise his son. She, you know, called him a bloody man, you know, as a matter of fact, threw the skin at him, you know. But the point is it identified, and you know it's really unique. I'm gonna bypass that. I was gonna talk about women don't have to go through that. Amen. Somebody tried to. I'm not gonna. That was. Okay. So the point is, there's always a contract agreement. Put it like that. There's steps. There's certain things you do that I do. It's like when you take on a job, okay? You get a job, you got to perform certain things on your job in order to get that paycheck. If you don't show up, do the job. And it's the same thing with the covenant. Now, and this other thing, the other aspect is blood. Let me just read it to you. There's promises, terms, blood, and token or seal, okay? And where we are now is at the Mosaic covenant, where Moses, and I want to back up to Genesis chapter 32, and I bypassed that because you know, I mean, it's enough I'm giving you, and I'm only giving you a little bit of information because this is now God made a promise to Abraham, and what we're about to read now is about Abraham's son Jacob, who was born from Isaac. Okay, And last time, unfortunately, the video didn't come through, and I was looking forward to that. The radio portion did come through. I will get around to posting it on my website as soon as I'm having problems with that. But anyway, Jacob was born with a twin brother named Esau. Now, technically, Esau should have been born, he was born before Jacob, okay? And I don't want, that's another whole storyline. I don't want to get too far off. But the main thing here is the continuity of the covenant provision that God made with Abraham. Okay, so this is what happened. Esau was born first. He was the oldest twin. And Jacob, later on down through the years, Jacob made a deal with Esau and bought his birthright. He slicked him out of his birthright. You know, it would seem like that ain't even possible, but the way they did things back then, that was possible. That basically put him in the head of the line to receive from God, okay? Now, so this process then went through, and if you really want to read that, because you have to understand that we all go through this process of cultural change, okay? And we have our own personal culture that requires us to have to go through this change. You know, I was thinking about the song that my brother plays at the beginning, and it talks about coming to Christ as you are, because, and you can't, you know, and it says that I want to clean up myself before I come. You can't, one, you don't know what to clean up, because we think some things are good with God and they're not. So you have to let God do it. God has the plan. It ain't about be good and go to heaven. It's far, far, far more than that. That's why all these details are in the Bible, for us to understand that we were, the fact that we didn't volunteer to come here is irrelevant. You are here. God volunteered you. And the point is, we have to learn to appreciate that. And I'm telling you, to be able to have the mindset to even to listen to what I'm saying, or to listen to the word, or to listen to anybody preaching, I'm telling you, you're blessed, because I meet people that don't want it, and they don't know what's coming. All right, so here we go, jump up, and we're in Genesis chapter 32. I don't really want to read the whole chapter. So, but let me give you the swift. So now comes the confrontation between Jacob and Esau, where he's got to answer. Where Jacob's name, okay, his name by name, their names always had meanings back then. Your name may have a meaning. Mine does. Anyway, but his was supplanter, supplanter, which basically was being a person that's slick. Okay, and that's how he did things, you know, and God got that out of him, okay? So he's got to confront his brother. He's on his way back home and concerned about Esau, and because Esau, amen, was in the Abrahamic family, despite the fact that he defied God, he was a blessed man, because when this particular confrontation, he has a bigger army than Abraham. Abraham had a 300-man army. Esau has a 400-man army. And, you know, so, I mean, so I want to go to verse 9, Genesis 32:9, and just read. Now, this is what you do when you get in trouble, people. You go to God. Don't just worry yourself. You praise God. Have some praise songs. I keep praising. I have about 20 praise songs. And don't worry about you sing in the key of Q. It don't matter. When your heart is in it, when God hears it, you sound like a songbird to him. You sound as good as anybody sound to him. Just make sure your heart is in there. So Jacob is now getting ready to pray to God. Now listen to this. Notice he ain't going, "Our Father who art in heaven," okay? It says, "And Jacob say, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered in multitude. Okay, but anyway, from that point, you see, now catch that number. That's another detail. There's only been, now we have a number, allegedly, by some people that track human history. You said there's been 880 billion people born since Adam. Now, that's a lot of people. It would crowd the planet. But he said, God said, which cannot be numbered. Now, you know, that tells me there's going to be more than the 880 billion. And you see on some of the movies, one of my favorite movies is Contact, and they want to know if there's life out there, and they say it would be a great waste of space if it isn't. Well, it's not wasted. You know, a portion of that 880 billion people that left here in faith, they're out there. They get to travel everywhere out there anyway. All right, so he does that, and I want to skip down here to verse 22. Verse 24. Anyway, it says, and then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. Now that in the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. I know how that feels. I broke my hip. What is that, May 31st, 2021? Woo, that hurts, man. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, and he said unto him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. Now, and that's my whole point in bringing this out, how that name Israel came to pass. And then one commentary, one definition of that is the prince that reigns with God. You know, I run into people, they don't know what that means. If you don't pray, it means nothing. If you don't serve God, it means nothing. Because as far as Satan concerned, you know, I frequently run into these, because I'm out there outreaching, and I run into these wannabe black Hebrew Israelite that refuse to get a DNA test because it ain't 100%. It's 99.99999. They don't have this gene. It's amazing how they even look for that gene. It's called the Akhenazim Jew. It don't mean nothing. Because if Satan does not recognize your authority, it don't mean nothing. You can call yourself what you want. See, he recognized my authority. He has to, because I have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is irrelevant. I mean, it doesn't matter what your skin color is if you have the Holy Spirit. Satan has to back up off of you. See, that's another provision of the covenant that come with the blood of Jesus, all right? And the reason I'm bringing this in is because now we're going to jump over to where Moses is, okay? Now, what has transpired since this point, Jacob, they went down to Egypt and they started out, it was all good, and then it turned on them. They were down there for 430 years. And now this is my guesstimation from revelation of seeking information, illumination, was that they had yet learned how to call on the Lord. Because, God does not, if he does things, Abraham came to know God because he called on him. I mean, Abraham's father could have called on him. See, the fact they knew instinctively there was a God, because Abraham's family worshiped 57 gods from one commentary that I read, so they knew there was a God. But they never stopped, and people do that today. Here it is, I still ask people when they come up to me with some old sideways stuff, and I ask them, did you ask God about that? See, pride will stop you from doing that. And the proverb said, Solomon said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, through your life, I'm tuning up my life, and people could call it overbearing. I'm dealing with my life. I like the freedom I have. I like the comfort and security I have. I like being able to get things done. I like getting my needs met. I like the comfort. So if I'm doing that, I'll go for you. So, but the point is I don't leave God out of anything. I go to work on my car. I pray to God for success. Last week, I had a water line break in my house. It was in a really bad place, and I mean, it was incredible. And but I got it done. I got it done. Praise God. But the first person I asked to help me with it was the Lord, because I'm not a plumber. But that dude was talking $99 an hour, and I know that was going to take up some money, and I'm like, I could spend that money on something else. So, amen. But anyway, so that's why it says in all, Proverbs 3:5-7, people quote that, in all, it says in all your ways acknowledge him. That's what Jacob did. He knew he couldn't. See, when you face, you're going to face some tremendous odds, and believe me, God has released more power in the earth. But if you don't know about it, it's some sad commentaries going on. People are walking around with there's power available, and they're becoming victims by Satan. All right? So the point here is I want you to know where that name Israel come from. And I'm telling you, you can read 10 commentaries, again, 10 definitions. Bottom line is, that's a name with authority. Exists today. It exists today to identify the God that keeps his word. Their flesh is like your flesh. They can't fly. They can't walk on water. But it says if God keeps his word to them, and see, there's a link. If you look at Galatians 3:28-29, you have a link to that covenant through Christ. Keep that in mind. All this, what I'm giving you here is opening up that promise to see how it came to pass. All these details, God could have just went from Adam to the New Testament, but he didn't. He could have gave, next week we're going to get into the Ten Commandments, because I seriously doubt we get into it today, but how come he didn't give Adam the Ten Commandments? Or Noah? Noah found grace in God's sight. Or Abraham? He could have gave them. And the deep part about it is, you see, they lived by them. You're going to see detail. When it becomes law, okay, it becomes then not only those that are born descendants of Abraham, anybody that will acclimate to that, that will accept the doctrine of God according to the precepts that God give them. Now, if that's the wrong word, then, talk to my English teacher. They did a bad job. All right? Anyway. All right. So now, the last time we talked about the fact that they was in captivity, and God sent Moses to deliver them out, okay, to bring them out of captivity. And it went through the process that God had to put a beat down on Pharaoh, okay? And Pharaoh was resisting, and because they had Pharaoh in Egypt, just like now, there's some men think they are a god, even though they look in the mirror and see the aging and know for a fact they are going to die. that's just amazing. But anyway, it was a match between God and Pharaoh, which Genesis chapter 12, because this is the final, Exodus chapter 12. This is the final match, and there's a lot into that, because, this is what happened in the match. God sent Moses, amen, God might send you somewhere, and don't be afraid. If God send you, can't nobody harm you. I've had to give people messages in times past. You know, I'm going to tell you, I actually avoid, people think I just like to come on Facebook and plop down scripture. I don't even want to say nothing. Because as far as I'm concerned, everybody done made up their mind. The Bible made it clear, I can't change nobody's mind. If God, they don't want God, that's on them. I know the consequences, but the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, threatens me if I don't warn the wicked, if I don't warn the righteous when God say warn them, then the blood is on me. If they die in their sin, the blood is on me, and I don't want that. That even though that's Old Testament, the fact that God had it written, and I'm trying, that's backed up in the New Testament. James 4:17, from one place, you know to do right and don't do it, that's sin, and sin is sin. That's called the sin of omission. You know, I had an incident last week where I'm not an early morning Uber person no more. I ain't no reason to get up and go. Anyway, God, when I'm wide awoke, I know he want me out there. And this one couple I picked up, they were on their way to work. And I could, in my spirit, it was almost like God was saying, this is their last chance. And I share with them, you know, I keep cards of advertisements of my book and share with them about this broadcast God knows. They may not have really been doing anything wrong, but see, this is something else you need to know. Satan has, he had what they say, photographic memory. He remembers. He got beat down after the garden. He's been after to kill the seed since. Genesis 3:15. You may have grandparents or parents that just gave Satan hell, okay, simply by praying and walking upright. He couldn't get them, so he coming after you. So that may be the case. I don't know what the case is. All I know is I did what was told to me. Amen. I gave them the word of the Lord. Amen. I try to get people saved. Did get two young ladies saved, but praise God for that. Amen. I didn't save them. Jesus saved them. I just led them in the prayer to heaven. Hallelujah. All right. So, bottom line is here. Pharaoh didn't challenge. God turned their water into blood. he sent frogs all over the place. And I'm going to tell you, you got to think about how stinky this stuff was when it's going. He set lice on them. He sent flies, and you know how pesky them flies can be, especially over there. They got them big, ugly flies with them claws on them, and the livestock suffered. He sent boils on them, and one commentary I read said it was a cancerous-type boils, and they're painful. It might be painful to the touch. Locusts. Then they got that heavy darkness. Every time I see that heavy darkness sometimes when I come out, I'm reminded of that. Now, so we get down to the final one, which is going to be the death of the firstborn. Okay. Now, the atheists hate this about God because that seems violent and cruel. But I remind them that ought to get your mind to recognize you're not dealing with some Mr. Softy. You're not dealing with a God that isn't that he lacks compassion, but he fully understands the spirit of man and what his capability is outside of the body. God got a different point of view. See, when we see people die, we see people go. God see people come. He collects the innocent over there. If you look at Luke chapter 16, there was a place used to be, far as I know, it's no longer in operation. I know it's not in operation for Christians, but in there is a place called Abraham's Bosom. And that's where they went and were held. It was a paradise that they were held in. People are confused over that, but that's in there to let us know part of what goes on back then. And those people were liberated when Jesus succeeded in his resurrection. But understand that God see people, children, coming to heaven. Another thing, commentaries of the, you know, the videos that I've read about, and there's a movie called Heaven is Real, where children, when God knows that the parent is going to come, he keeps the child a child, and they get to grow up with him. That's why, because I have, you know, I have God. You know why they're not adults, you know, I mean, God don't do nothing wrong. I'm telling you, God will tell you things, and he speak to your spirit, okay? He speak to your spirit, and he's, you would do it if you was God. So why not? God is loving like that. So I get that. You know, I have a young son named David over there. Amen. So, you know, I mean, that's going to be. That's part of life. But that happened because right back then I did not know what I know now. See, I knew there was a devil, but I didn't really understand how to exercise authority and how it was, how much it required. But I fully understand that, which is why I tell people, don't send your kids to school without praying over them. That Uvalde incident, that happened because them parents didn't pray. That's just that simple. Either that or they didn't qualify for prayer. That's another thing I'm trying to get across here. You can't, just because you exist does not entitle you to the provisions of God. This is what we go. Where we at? Oh, yeah. Well, we're running down the time. Don't worry. We're going to get through this because I want you to understand this aspect, because it's a nice, and God will try to answer your prayer, even if a person is not in Christ, because what he'll do is go find a person in Christ. He already know where they're at. He ain't got to go nowhere, and he'll get them to pray. That's why people, Satan hates speaking in tongues, okay? Because God knows that what happened in Romans chapter 8, it lets you know that the Spirit speaks, okay? Because he knows what we don't know. I don't know nobody in China. I just met a person from Japan. But God knows how to pray. See, that allows God to legally minister and conduct spiritual activity in the earth. You got to understand what that's about. It ain't just about chunka monka monka monka. It's really God, because man has control of the planet, God has to utilize that provision in order to minister to those in need that may not qualify to receive. You got to understand the purpose. So when you let God use you that way, that's what he is doing. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, thereby you speak mysteries, or another way that in English is speak stuff that ain't really none of your business. God just using your voice and your tongue. You got to understand the legal aspects of how prayer works. But one of the main aspects is the covenant of God. That means you have authority and power. You know, one of the things I used to like is always going through the door and say, authorized personnel only. You know, I was one of them guys. So, you know, that just meant something to me. It's not a big thing, but that's the way it is. When it comes to prayer and authority over Satan, it's authorized personnel only. And if you haven't received Christ, you're not an authorized person. And it's going to be critical. Look at how fast and rapidly, look at how people are dying, and look at how crazy people are. Here you got a young man going to shoot some football players on a bus. Why? I'm willing to bet you just out of jealousy, because he used to be on the football team. Why? Man, come on, really? What's changed is less resistance to the devil. Amen. Humans ain't changed. God ain't changed. The devil hasn't even changed. But he can see where there is no protection. And when you're an adult, if you're over 21, you are on your own, saints. You got to teach your kids how to pray. And God would try to make an exception to the rule, but if Satan gets wind of it, when he see angelic activity, remember, they're in that realm where they see what's going on. And again, same situation as I just said. they may have been born in sanctified families, lived and raised up at the church, okay, heard all the teaching, but left out the house without commanding angels to protect them. It's critical now to be on point, to be serious, to not neglect what you need to do. I don't leave home without, I try not to leave home. I rarely leave home without commanding angels to protect my household and protect me, because I am aware of what's going on. And I don't need to sit down and have an encyclopedia of angelic captivity to know that. I ask God about it, okay? And I would suggest, I tell you what, you would know the difference. The fruit speaks for itself. All right. So now we had the final throwdown, and we're going to begin this, and we're going to pick it up again next week. But so he done went through the 10th plague. The 10th plague is going to be the death of the firstborn, and there's a lot of significance about that. So we're just going to read a little bit about this anyway, because there's a lot in this. But anyway, it says now, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, then I'm going to skip down to like 22. It says, and now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household, and if the household is too small, for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from a sheep or a goat. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, which is, you know, when the sun go down. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintels of the houses where they shall eat it. Okay, and I'm going to get into, just talk a little bit about this here. First off, that was the Jewish New Year, what we call Passover or Easter, begins in March. They have, I would say, a joining month, like March, April, you know. They don't have like a typical 30-day, like they don't even their calendar right now, I think, is 5782, unlike ours, is 2022, they're the only ones that I know. The Chinese have a strange calendar to a different calendar, but this here is based on the solar calendar. I don't want to get into a lot of that. Bottom line is God ordained this, okay, for them, and that we're gonna read why He did that. That's to establish something, because again, with Israel is special. But again, remember, what applies to Israel then applies to you in Christ now. Okay, I want to draw the connection of, because hopefully you'll get a revelation of who you are in Christ, and not get caught up into you need to be more than what you are, because you have, listen, you have the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same person. You can't get more than that. You can't get no title, no name. You can get more job responsibility. That's the only way you can get, like a pastor, is a job responsibility. But you can't get more saved than saved. I'm telling you, doesn't matter. You can't get more Holy Ghost than Holy Ghost. You know, you can't even get more faith. You have to submit more, okay? You submit more, and you will see more of the power of God operating in your life. And it's, again, it's comforting to know that you have this ability and authority, because trust me, as time go on, it's going to be fearful. Even now, they said, Jesus said, men was going to die from fear, you know, because of what's coming up on the earth. They're planning. Listen, there is going to be World War III. Make no doubt about it. It's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. You can doubt it all you want, and I particularly think that America gonna get struck hard because America is what took down Hitler. And any general, particularly a Russian general, know if they want to go, they want to be successful, they have to take out America first. And the way folk is acting in America, the only thing I believe is the rapture going to happen before the missile strike, okay? But anyway, so we done got started on this. And again, like I said, this change in the calendar signifies something different. God, that's the other thing. Keep in mind, like I said, people want to believe. Now, I don't, you know, you don't go around telling people they're going to hell because they're Buddhists. You know, you don't, remember that. Never speak, never say what God doesn't want, okay? I don't have to tell. I know where they're headed. I know they're not saved. But see, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. So I am who I am the way I am because people pray for me. They didn't come up to my face, if you don't change, you're going to hell. And you know what? Because I was dumb enough back then to think, well, I'm going to hell, I'm going to just party on the way. You know, and when I, you know, we had all kind of old goofy stuff. We get down there, we're going to take over and stuff. Not going to happen. It ain't that kind of party. But I'm telling you, and again, you want provision because I'm going to tell you the biggest threat that I see coming through the body of Christ is going to be enormous prosperity, particularly African Americans. You're going to get your reparations. The question is it going to get you? Israel left Egypt with gold, and eventually it got them. Okay? We may get to that when we get to the Davidic covenant, you know, just briefly. But see, believe me, money is a spirit, okay? That you have to distinguish money and currency. I'm telling you, you're dealing with a satanic spirit. Satan ain't no, he ain't the wisest person ever. He definitely ain't the wisest, you know, he got kicked out of heaven. But his intellectual capability, you can pick all the smartest technological colleges on the planet, and they are no match for him. His IQ is 10 times minimum. Minimum, his is 2,500. Smartest person is a woman, 246. So, you know, you're no match for him without the Holy Spirit. You're no match. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to even that out. And it's a simple process. You don't have to fully understand it. You just have to believe it and receive it. And just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe what I've heard concerning your son Jesus. I believe that you sent him to die for my sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask your forgiveness and I accept your offer of forgiveness. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, I am saved, I am born again, I am forgiven. It's that simple. You know, that's the amazing thing, you know, that people think it should be more than that. Well, you know, but that right there initiates the covenant. That initiates the covenant. And you have full access. There are books, there are teachings on that, and you now, God can legally talk to you directly. That's another thing. God cannot legally talk to just any and everybody. I know people like to think and they say that, but you know, I asked them, how do you establish that it's God? Because God always stays with his word. He never deviates from his word. Okay? So we said that, and we're going to pick this up next week, and I know God is willing, beside the rapture, and if the rapture comes, well, you just have to listen to what I already have. All right? And just remember this, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Ask God for the revelation on what I just said. Amen. See you next week.
Yeah. Tuesday. said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling all my friends asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes I am, yes I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today
I'm gonna be joyful.
Ooh,
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today, today.